epistle of the Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, to the saints of Ephesus. The blessings of grace are well enumerated in this first chapter. Chapter 1, verse 3, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so we have been speaking about these various spiritual blessings. Well, we began by speaking of the blessing of knowing the Lord, just knowing Christ as Lord and Savior. That's a blessing. Then we spoke about our blessing of being chosen in Christ. That's based on verse number 4. And then we, last Lord's Day, we spoke about the blessings of redemption. We are blessed to be a redeemed people. Now then, we come to another blessing. God's people are blessed to look forward to an inheritance. God's people are going to have an inheritance. The modern thought of an inheritance is something that you might receive from a relative. You know, you receive an inheritance from someone else that maybe has passed on and they've left you in their will. You have probably heard the expression, "I'm spending my children's inheritance." And we probably will do that. I remember reading about a guy named Dave. Dave was a single guy living at home with his father, and he was working in the family company. He working in the family business, and it was all settled in the will of his father that he would inherit the business and the fortune of this father. He would inherit that fortune. His father was sick and only had just a little while to live, just a few months to live. And Dave really wanted two things. Number one, he wanted to learn how to invest this great inheritance that he was going to get. And number two, Dave wanted to find a wife who would share his fortune. Well, one evening, he went to an investment meeting, anticipating getting all that money. And at the investment meeting, he spotted the most beautiful woman he had ever seen. Her natural beauty just took his breath away, and he just had to go up and introduce himself to this lady. And he told her, he said, "Miss, you're absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, you're beautiful, but I want you to know, I may look like just an ordinary man, but just in a little while, just in a few months, my father will die and I'm going to inherit $20 million. Well, that woman said, wow. She was impressed. She said, "Can I have your business card?" He gave her the business card, and 2 weeks later, she became his stepmother. Took a while for that one to sink in, did it? I guess Dave didn't quite get what he was looking for. He missed out on that inheritance, but I'll tell you what, thank God to every Christian. If you're a born-again, blood-bought Christian, you've got an inheritance. You may not get much in as far as the inheritances of the world. You may, and if you do, I wish you the best for it, you know, if you come from folks like we poor folks on my side of the family, and I don't think we're going to get a whole lot out of that. But that's okay. God knows. God's always taking care of us. Sometimes one single word says it all, and that is the word inheritance. In the scripture, inheritance is literally defined in order to cast lots or to determine something by lot. The word inheritance is found some 203 times in the Bible. Think of Daniel the prophet. God told Daniel the prophet to seal up the prophecy that God had given him. In Daniel 12:13, the Lord told Daniel, he said, "Go thy way till the end. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days." So this lot, he talks about standing in your lot. That's an appointed place of rest and prosperity, receiving an inheritance. And so a Christian, we have something wonderful to look forward to. Let's read about it here in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 8, he was describing the redemption through the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein, because he's redeemed us, he said, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now here's verse 11. In whom, that is in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance. We already have it. It's something future, but the future reaches into the present. We have obtained an inheritance. We have a lot. And he says, obtained this inheritance, being predestinated, predetermined, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Jesus promised an inheritance to every one of his children. I also think of what Jesus promised those troubled disciples as he had told them about his impending death on the cross and how he would have to leave them and go back to heaven. But he told them, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Because if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's the inheritance. To know Christ as your Savior now, to have that assurance of eternal life and heaven, and the best is yet to come, because he promised a place for us in heaven. God is giving us, he's given us an inheritance by his own good pleasure. And that's spoken about there in verse 19, that he's made known unto us a mystery. I love to watch mysteries, and God has a mystery unfolding, and I'll try to explain that a little bit more as we go along, but it's a mystery according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. I think what it is that you remember in the beginning, God chose a nation. As the nation of Israel, God chose the Jewish people to be his special people and chose Israel as a nation. He gave them the land of promise, the land of Palestine. He gave that to them. That's in the Word of God. And he also gave to Israel instructions on how they were to live, how they were to conduct business. And actually, he gave them 613 commandments. You only thought there were 10, right? Hey, no more than 10. He gave us 613. I guess the 10 commandments are the main ones. But he gave that, he made a covenant with a nation. Special covenant. But now watch this. God's plan was not just for one nation. God's plan was to bring all nations under his grace, so both Jew and Gentile are included in God's mysterious plan. And what God wants to do, what he's going to do, is eventually he's going to wrap everything up in this world, and everything one day is going to belong to Christ. It already belongs to Christ, but he's going to claim it all. And that talks about the second coming of the Lord, and I don't want to preach on that today. That's for another time. But I tell you, I believe Jesus is coming back. And the Bible talks about there's going to be a whole new world, and a new heavens, and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And guess what? All believers are going to be part of that. That's the mystery of God's great plan. We're all going to receive an inheritance. Now, what is this inheritance all about? Well, as I said, I believe that we will inherit a whole new world. In fact, the Bible says that the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So, we who know Christ are one day destined to own this whole planet. We're going to inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. And that means that we're going to inherit eternal life. That's part of that inheritance. I think of Matthew chapter 19. Let me read that. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, it says that Peter said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? The disciples said, we've left everything. We've left our wives and family and children, and we've left the fishing business. We have left it all to follow you, Lord, and to serve you. And so what are we going to have? Well, Jesus answered that question. Verse 28, Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration. You say, what's that? Regeneration is salvation, right? But it means more than that. Regeneration involves the culmination of the mystery. Regeneration is the whole new world, a new heavens, a new earth, where Christ will reign on his throne and we will rule and reign with him. That's the regeneration he's talking about. So he said, You have followed me in this regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. You also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now I can assure you that the apostles are not sitting on 12 thrones right now. They're in heaven, I'm sure, but they're not judging Israel right now. They're not involved in judging the tribes of Israel. That's for a future time, okay? Verse 29, here's what Jesus went on to say. That everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. And many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Look at that. Those who have made sacrifices to serve God. And I think of missionaries that have left America, that have left the comforts of this place and family, and have gone off to Peru or Brazil or the Philippines to preach the gospel, to see people saved. They've made sacrifices of those things. They've had to move there and eat food that they're not familiar with, and to deal with customs that they're to be foreigners. You don't know what a foreigner really feels until you go to a foreign country yourself. And that'll enlighten you. But Jesus said, those that have sacrificed the comforts of home, those that have sacrificed maybe the ability to make a lot of money. He said, those people that have labored and served the Lord and made those sacrifices, the Lord said they're going to receive an inheritance. They're going to inherit a hundredfold, Jesus said, and they shall, now watch this, he said they will inherit what? Eternal life. That's what our Lord said. Eternal life, a life that'll never end. A life that never ends. A Christian dies in this world. Christian dies and is buried, but they're not really dead. They've just transferred to a better place. They've transferred on to heaven. They're with the Lord. So we shall inherit a whole new world, and we shall inherit eternal life, and we inherit a rich reward. Do you think God's going to reward His faithful servants? Absolutely. He's going to do that. And I look at what the Scripture, again, I think of what the Scripture says over there in the book of Colossians. And let me read that to you in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 23. Notice this. Colossians 3:23. He said, "Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." We don't have to impress anyone. We just need to please God. It says, so do this to the Lord, serve Him. Verse 24, knowing that the Lord you shall receive what? He said, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. You're going to receive a reward from Christ. And you say, what is that reward? I'm not really sure. Jesus said He's going to build us a place, a mansion. So that's one thing. We're going to have a glorified body, free from sin and pain and sorrow, sister. We don't have to work. There aren't going to be any hospitals up there, or clinics, or doctors. We're going to inherit such a wonderful experience, such a wonderful place. We inherit a rich reward with the Lord. I think of 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at this. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, He has begotten us again unto a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are hoping they're going to get an inheritance from somebody. You know, like Dave, going to get that $20 million. Well, Dave didn't get it. That beautiful woman got it. And that's what may happen. You know, that's usually what happens to that. But notice here in 1 Peter chapter 1, what does he say here? In verse 4, we're going to receive to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Listen. Your inheritance in heaven is being preserved for you right now. It's being taken care of. And it's going to be perfect. Whatever it is, it's going to be absolutely wonderful, and it's going to be absolutely perfect. It's going to be undefiled. No one can steal it or touch it. Everything in this world is going to tarnish. It's going to fade away. It's going to corrupt. I don't care what you have. I mean, you listen, you can buy the finest home, you can build you a custom home, but I guarantee you, someone else will end up living in it. My goodness, you can buy the finest car that's made, and a lot of people think it's a Tesla. But they might burn that thing down. You know, some idiot's going to come and set fire to that thing, you know. And I don't know that that's the greatest car, but people spend a lot of money. Oh, man.
These cars, I can't believe how much they cost. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
I mean, I paid $25,000 for my SUV. Of course, it's a 2005. I've had that thing for 20 years. And I thought, you know, I wouldn't mind buying another one of those things. You know, I only paid $25,000. It's still going. It's got about 280,000 miles on it, you know. It's a Toyota. So I thought, you know, I'd like to get another one of those things. And so I got online and started looking at the Toyota dealer to see how much that thing would cost. It would cost me $60,000 to buy that car today. If any of you rich people want to do that, I don't turn anything down. But we are going to inherit a rich reward and inherit something that will never break down, never tarnish, never be clouded by anything else. It'll be absolutely perfect. Why? Because, you know, the Bible says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Did you know that? That's what it says over there in the book of Romans. I love this. In Romans chapter 8, notice this. In verse 15, he tells us, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You don't have to be afraid. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or O Holy Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God tells me in my very heart that I belong to Him. I can't explain it. It's just a heavenly intuition that I have. I belong to the Lord. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. Now notice verse 17. If we're children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now think about it. God, you're an heir of God. And listen, everything that God gives to Jesus, which is everything, is what you're going to have. Because you're a joint heir with Christ. So everything that Christ gets, I'm going to get too. I can't explain the dimensions of that. The dynamic of that, I don't quite understand. But I know this much. Almighty God owns everything out here. This entire universe, God owns it. Mr. Musk, he said he wants to build a colony on Mars. Why? I would not have the faintest idea. Who in the world will want to live on Mars? All they got up there is a bunch of red dirt and rocks. No, I'll just live here. If y'all want to go to Mars, I said, you can do that. But imagine heaven, what that's going to be like. I can't conceive of, eye has not seen or ear has heard the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. We just don't know everything that we're going to have. But I tell you what, it's going to be exciting. I mean, live on Mars. I mean, when we get a glorified body, man, we're probably going to be able to travel to the universe. Check it all out. But now listen, our greatest inheritance is not just heaven, although that's wonderful. And we're looking forward to heaven. I mean, we're looking forward to the rewards that God has for us. We're looking forward to the blessings of that inheritance, but there's something greater, there's a greater inheritance than that. You know what it is? Our greatest inheritance is Jesus Christ Himself. That's right. God is our inheritance Himself. Go back here in the text in Ephesians chapter 1 and notice verse 10, talking about this mystery and this inheritance. In verse 10, he said that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Paul speaks really, I think, of the end of the world and the revelation of this great mystery. But you say, Pastor, what does that word dispensation mean? Can you explain that? Here's the explanation. When he said the dispensation of time, the dispensation, that is simply God's administration. We elect a president and he sets up an administration, right? Listen, the Lord Jesus has an administration that he has established, and it's all been established in advance. As I said, God has chosen his people in Christ. He's predetermined them to be conformed to the image of Christ. So I think part of the dispensation is that, well, we're all of us that are saved, that all of us that know Jesus, we've been predestinated to be conformed to his image. So I guess all of us are going to look like Jesus. Yeah, that's part of it. Isn't that a mystery? That's God's administration. And he has established his kingdom. We're part of the kingdom of God. That word dispensation has a secondary translation. It also means fellowship. Now, we're going to have a special fellowship in heaven, but we have that fellowship now. You see, in the purpose and plan of God, there's only going to be one undivided assembly in glory. And we're given a vision of that in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. It gives a vision of glory, a vision of the assembly of heaven one day when all of us and the angels and everyone is standing before Christ. He said in Hebrews 12, "You are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." A lot of angels. They're all going to be there. Then he said, "You are come to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." That's Hebrews 12, verse 22 and 23. Hey, listen. Did you realize? I know those of you that are saved and baptized here, I know you're members of this Jordan Baptist Church, right? You're part of this local visible assembly of believers, but you know there's another assembly? It's not meeting right now here in this world. It's a general assembly. All my friends say, "I don't believe in the universal church." Well, there's a sense in which I do. There will be an assembly, a church of all Christians one day that will gather in heaven. Some of our friends call it the Bride of Christ. I don't know. But he said here's an assembly that gathers in heaven. It doesn't gather here on earth. We can only gather here in local, visible churches, assemblies here on earth. But there's something else. I read in the Bible when it says in Ephesians 2 that God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. And that is in the present tense.
This General Assembly already exists. That's just my opinion. But the Bible says we've already been raised to heaven and we're already sitting together in heavenly places. You say, Pastor, how can that be? But we're sitting in here. We're talking about the purpose of God, right? The mystery.
That's what we're talking about. There is a sense spiritually that I'm already in heaven. I'm already sitting up there with God's people. We're already doing that. There's a lot more I could say about that. While we live on earth, we don't experience that kind of assembly of believers. But again, it exists in the very purpose of God. So in a spiritual way, all Christians are assembled and seated with Christ. All believers are in Christ. Christ is our hope of glory. He lives in us. We live in him. We've been raised up with him. We've been quickened, given spiritual life with him. Now, what do we inherit? In the final analysis, in the dispensation of grace, we're just going to inherit God. The prophet Jeremiah said, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul, and therefore I have hope in him." A lot of people think about heaven, and there's been a lot of songs written about heaven and what's up there. There are streets of gold and pearly gates and angel choir singing. And I even heard one song that built a little old cabin in glory land for me. I kind of doubt that. But you got all that stuff up there, and people talk about the harps we're going to play and so on. But really, I'll tell you what the experience of heaven is. It's being with Jesus. He's gathering everything to himself. It's all going to be about him. It's not going to be about me. I mean, I heard one song that says, "Let me tell you what I did to get here to glory." No, you didn't get to do anything to get here to glory. God did it all for you. We're not going to be up there boasting and bragging about how many souls we won to Christ and all the good things we did and all the visitation that we did and all the Bible studies that we held and all the sermons we preached and all the books that we wrote. We're not going to be doing that. We're just going to be looking at Jesus. He is our inheritance. Now, we inherit the blessings of salvation. Who's going to go to heaven? Who's going to inherit, have this inheritance? Only those who have trusted in Christ. So watch this. Ephesians 1 verse 12, he continues the thought here now. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We place our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so what are we trusting? What do we believe? We believe the gospel. We believe the good news that Christ died for sinners. He was buried and he rose again from the dead. And he ascended to the Father where he's at the right hand of God. And he's willing to receive anyone who will come to him in faith. He will receive you. If you come to Him, believing in Him, trusting in Him as your Savior. Oh, I hope you have. You say, what's this faith about? Faith is really the inward conviction that what God says is true. The Bible's the Word of God. This is true. Hey, I believe what God says. I take God at His Word. You believe what God says. It may be beyond your puny reasoning or scientific demonstration, but we're believing what God says. I remember a skeptic by the name of Edwin Rushworth. He was an atheist, and he hated Christianity. And he was studying, making notes on how he could disprove the Christian faith. So part of his study was, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to read the Bible for 1 hour a day for several weeks. Read the Bible for 1 hour a day, every day. And his whole thought was to prove the Bible wrong, to prove, disprove the reality of Christianity. Well, after reading the Bible for 1 week, he looked at his wife and he said, honey, if this book is right, we're all wrong. After reading the Bible another week, he said to her, honey, if this book is right, we're lost. And at the end of the third week of reading the Bible, he said, honey, if this book is right, we can get saved. And they were both saved just a little while longer. You know what faith is? It's trusting Christ. It is personally you relying upon Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation. It's more than just a historical belief. It's more than a mere intellectual kind of thing. It's not just an assent of the mind. It is a dependence. It's a wholesale dependence or commitment of your soul into the hands of the awesome and sovereign Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way. He said, I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. When you come to Jesus and you trust your soul into His sovereign, powerful hands, you don't have to worry that He's going to lose you. No one ever trusted in Jesus and died and went to hell. Nobody. If you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, you're just for sure for heaven as you're sitting in that chair. Wow. That's faith. I am resting in what Jesus did on that cross to save me. I'm resting. I'm trusting in what He did for me at the cross. I'm trusting in His blood for the forgiveness of my sins. Is that your faith today? Are you trusting in Jesus as your Savior today? Have you personally trusted in Christ to be one of His children? Now, what happens when you come to Jesus? What happens when you trust in Christ? The Bible says you get sealed by the Holy Spirit. Sealed unto the day of redemption. You know what that seal is? It's protection. It's security. It's authenticity. The government has to stamp your food. It passes government scrutiny. You can eat that. Hopefully. But we've got a greater guarantee with Jesus. What happens when you, the moment that you look to Jesus and you trust Him as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and He seals you. Nothing can get in you. Nothing can, He'll never leave you, and nothing can invade that seal. It's security. And as the song says, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. It's not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. Oh, your redemption is guaranteed. And your final inheritance of heaven is safe and secure because God has given us this awesome promise. Now listen. You can trust Christ right now. If you haven't, I urge you right now. Right now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do that now. And experience this wonderful eternal life. But I leave you with this, that, you know, we can trust our future to Jesus too. And that's what verse 14, he's the earnest of our inheritance. You know, until the redemption of the purchased possession, you say, what's that earnest all about? Well, the realtors use that. They talk about earnest money. You know, if you were to buy a house, you know, you sign a contract and then you have to make a down payment, right? And what that down payment is kind of your pledge that you're going to buy the home, you're going to carry on with it and purchase it. And that's what God's done for us. He's given us an earnest. The Spirit of God is living in us. That's a pledge that He's going to keep us and bring us from earth to heaven. That's our pledge. Guarantees your salvation. Ah, what a wonderful experience. As John 3:33, he that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. Amen. I've believed on the Lord Jesus. I've set my seal. God's true. I believe it. It's done. The transaction's over. It's all done. The Spirit of God has sealed my soul and I am forever saved. I believe that. Do you? Do you believe that for yourself? God help you to believe in Christ today. And to look forward to this glorious inheritance that we have in Him. Let's pray. Father, all of us who know You can say, into Thy hands we commit our spirit. We don't just do that in death, but Lord, we do that before death. It guarantees our life. I don't know all about the inheritance. There's probably a lot more I could have said about it today. But I know that we're going to inherit Your awesome presence. And that's something we look forward to. That one day, we're going to look at Your face and get on our knees before You and give You the greatest praise that we can possibly do. Lord, help us to do that now. And Lord, be with those that aren't saved. Oh, Father, I pray even now You grant them this gift of faith that they might trust in Lord Jesus and be saved for Your honor and for Your glory. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.